Good evening. I am glad that you could join us in our Wednesday evening Bible study time. We conclude tonight a part two of our message from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, where Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry. Now, that's easier said than done, and we'll give a brief summary of where we've been on Sunday evening, but we won't go over everything for sake of time and for everyone that was here to hear and sit through that. Matthew chapter 6, and we want to look at 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth the need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus says here on several occasions that I say unto you. In the original, this is very commanding speech. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. It is just as commanding as it would be in the Ten Commandments in the same speech. What's he saying to us? It's Jesus speaking, and he's saying, this is the holy word of our Heavenly Father. This is the holy word of your Heavenly Father to his children. What does he say? He's saying, do not worry. Do not worry. Three times in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, do not worry. He says, take no thought. Verse 25, watch your Bible. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Do not worry about your life. That doesn't mean not be concerned. It's saying, let Jesus take care of the worry. When I was a student at Tennessee Temple Schools, Tennessee Temple University, I went in there one day to pay a bill in the business office. And I can't remember the lady's name that took my payment, but I said, well, you can rest easy now. I paid the bill, just making small talk. Her response was, oh, I don't worry about you boys at all. She said, I go to sleep at night and sleep very well. I said, you do? She said, yes. She said, I give every bit of you, every one of you, I give all of it to the Lord, and I know he's going to work it out. Well, that's pretty good. That's exactly what we're to do. And the Lord provided for our needs. And so she prayed, and many others prayed. And so the Lord says, do not worry. Take no thought about tomorrow. Why? Because it's his job to worry about tomorrow. Now, we've got to define what worry is. We define what worry was on Sunday evening. Worry is being anxious, is being full of anxiety. It's being full of care. It's being full of worry. Worry. Our English word worry comes from the German word Wurgen. W-U-R-G-E-N. Wurgen. It means to choke. It means to strangle. And so worry came to mean mental strangulation from anxiety over something that was anticipated. Worry clouds the mind. It keeps us from seeing things. It keeps us from seeing clarity. It keeps us from comprehending things clearly. And we said also that worry was like a fog. And so worry is a very dangerous thing. It affects us physiologically. It affects us mentally. It affects us, our entire body. It will affect us spiritually. It will rob us of our joy. But two times our Lord Jesus used the phrase, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Verse 26, what's your Bible? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then notice with me in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We now go into the portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, of where Jesus describes the parent that we can trust. We're just feeble children, but we are children of God. But yet we're still feeble in this flesh. The emphasis that we must not miss is this. We have a parent. We are not forsaken. We're not God. We are alone. But my friend, we are not orphans. We are not orphans. The Bible says that our Heavenly Father, He cares for birds. He cares for our earthly needs. Therefore, we should not worry because we should trust. He has never not provided for our needs. He provides, verse 25 speaks to the fact that He provides what we consume. The Bible says that He provides for what we eat. He provides for what we drink. The Bible says in verse 26 that the fowls, the birds of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't get up in planting season that we're encroaching upon, that we are already upon. They don't get out and start sowing seed. No, they don't know how. The Bible says that the Heavenly Father looks after them. The Heavenly Father knows exactly what they need. He provides. He provides for their need. And so He takes care of all of that. In verses 28 and through 32, the Bible speaks of the fact that He provides our covering. Notice with me in verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That's amazing to read. Notice with me as well, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, speaking of the heat, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. My friend, it is biblical. It is biblical to seek the Lord for your needs. It is biblical for us to seek the Lord for our food, for our clothing. And God provides for our needs. He delights in providing for our needs. hearts. And so notice here that the Lord covers anxiety right after he covers the thought of money. Many times money is what causes us to worry. It does me occasionally, a lot. More in the past than it does now. But being in business for myself, I had more opportunity and, of course, dwelled on the aspects of money when I was in the insurance business. And so I had to look out for my own paycheck and had to do this. So our world revolved around money. And to an extent, it had to, because it was our job to provide for our families, to fulfill contract expectations from the company that employed us and paid us. And of course, in a job that's based on production, the more you work, the more you get paid. And so it's designed to be that way. But I don't believe that by any accident that our Lord places anxiety, the topic that he covers here on the Sermon on the Mount, anxiety, following money. Because money can cause anxiety. You say, are you just talking about the lack of money? No, I've seen millionaires absolutely do nothing but worry about their money. I've seen multimillionaires just absolutely stay up at night worrying about their money. Who was going to try to get their money next? Were they going to have what they wanted? It just changed their whole outlook on life. They could not see anything in relationship to eternity for the here and now, materialistic things. And the Lord Jesus is saying to the multitudes on the Mount of Olives, as he, our Heavenly Father, clothes the birds, the fowls, the fields, and the flowers. Will he not care for his followers? Think about that. He who takes cares, who takes care of all the needs of the fowls of the air, the fields, the flowers, will he not take care of his followers? We worry about our earthly problems because we don't trust in our heavenly parent and his promises and his providential provisions. That's why we worry about our earthly problems. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need clothing. And we are more important to him than the fowls of the air. We're more important to him than the fields of the earth. We're more important to him than the flowers of the fields. And so he cares for us. He provides for us. He never forgets about us. And we're not to live like the pagans. Watch the Bible here in verse 32. Watch your Bible. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What's he talking about? Well, he just finished up in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And he's saying, these are the items that the Gentiles, in other words, we're not to live like the pagans, those who do not believe, the unbelievers, we're not to live like them. We're not to be concerned about the fastest car or the newest thing that comes out. Now, all those are fine. And if you have those, and if God's given you all those, there's nothing wrong with that if God's given it to you. But you as a believer in Christ, and I as a believer in Christ, a child of God, we are not to focus on those things. Our citizenship is not down here. Our citizenship is in glory. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. So we're not to live like the pagans who run after all these things. Martin Luther, he was the great church reformer, and he was going through an extended period of depression and worry. Many great church leaders have gone through periods of depression and worry, and these are actions that Satan gives to people who actually follow God. So make that a notation, if you will. Martin Luther was going through an extended period of worry and anxiety and depression. One day, his wife dressed in black clothing, just like she was in mourning. and it was a black dress, it was a black veil. Martin Luther said to his wife, "Who has died?" And his wife looked at him and replied, "God. God must have died." Martin Luther looks at his wife and says, "God? How can you say such things?" His wife said, "I'm only dressing like you are living. You're acting like God has died." He realized that he was actually denying his belief by his behavior and changed from worrying to trusting. You see, when we worry, we say one of two things. We live and portray that God has in fact died. That God either has died or he is incapable of fixing and taking care of our problems, meeting our daily needs, or that he's too busy. None of those things are true. None of those things are true. So if God has not changed, then who has changed? We have. God has not moved. Who has moved? We have. And so worry is a problem of the flesh. So let us do the same for, we have a parent. Let's do the same thing as Martin Luther did. He turned worry back into trust because we have a parent who is too good to be unkind and he's too wise to make mistakes. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's never lost a sheep. And He is a father who always is near at hand. Jeremiah 23 and verse 23. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee us anything that we ask for his will." So we can ask him anything and God will answer our. David said that he had been young and that he is now old and that he has never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children or descendants begging bread. Psalm 37 verses 25 goes into 26. I've never seen a believer begging, have you? I believe that God takes care of his own. And so here's a priority that we should pursue. Notice with me in verse 33. I'd commit this to memory if I haven't already. The Bible says, but is a conjunction. So anytime but is in the scripture or therefore or such like, something good's coming or something bad, the course is changing. In this case, it's something good. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, there's two essential thoughts that we want to take away from this verse. Number one, the first confirms the primary, or excuse me, the first concerns the primary thing in life. The main priority. Our main priority is to pursue in our life is to put God first. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That is to say, make him the preeminent priority in our lives. He is to be number one. He doesn't and will not, he doesn't like, nor will he settle for number two. He wants to be the preeminent priority in our lives. More important than food, more important than clothing, more important than life or death. And earlier in this same chapter, we have what we call the model prayer. Notice what the model prayer says. The model prayer, he says, "Our Father," in verse 9, chapter 6, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what? Our daily bread." Our daily bread. God provides daily sustenance. think back to manna when it was given to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They wanted to can it. They wanted to preserve it. They wanted to fix it, keep it up. They wanted to keep back enough to last them for days. It implicated them in doubt. It showed their doubt for God that He would provide their daily needs. The Bible says in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread, daily sustenance. God wants us to come to Him daily for our needs. We're not to come to Him with a month's worth of needs and then say, okay, Lord, now I'll see you in another month, and mark it on the calendar and say, all right, well, today is the 10th of April or whatever it is, and I'll see you the 10th of May. No, the Lord wants us to come for daily sustenance. Did you know that? Notice that his kingdom interests, if you will, are mentioned first, and then our daily bread. Notice in your scripture in chapter 6 and verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The eternal has priority over the temporal. The kingdom of God is first. God's will is first. And then bread. God simply teaching us that the number one priority is to put God first in our lives, and that's the antidote to worry. If we're not seeking God first, no wonder we're worried. We're not seeking God. We're not doing it His way. We're not seeking our Lord. Worry is a warning light on the dashboard of our lives, and it's warning us that God is really not first in our lives at this particular moment. So when we're worrying, we are thinking of the fact, when we're worrying, we are thinking of the fact that we're first, that we're in the driver's seat, or that God is not big enough to handle whatever we have. No, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If He's not first in our lives, then we must rearrange our priorities. One of the great things, if you can say great, going on in the world right now for believers is that we have come to a screeching halt. We have come to a stop, as it were, in many areas in our lives, and we have time to think. We have time to think about God. We have time to think about ourselves, and we have time to repent. Now we come to the second concerns that God issues in this verse, Matthew 6 and verse 33. The second part of this verse concerns the secondary things of life. He says the primary is this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then secondly, secondary things in life, all these things will be added unto you, will be given unto you. What things? All the things that we're so prone to worry about: food, clothing, care. Who made you? Who established the requirements for food? Who established the requirements for shelter? Who established the requirements for clothing? God did. He is our creator. He's also our sustainer. And so God takes care of His creation. God takes care of you. The song goes, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you in every way, on every day. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. That's true, isn't it? That's true. God will take care of you. Now, finally, we want to close with the promise we need to embrace. The promise that we need to embrace. The Bible says, and all these things shall be added unto you. The guarantee that Jesus states is this. You want a written guarantee that God will provide? Here it is. Here it is in writing. The nature of that which he promises is things. He says all these things. Most of our worrying is about things, tangible items that we touch and that we feel and that we hold. Things like food and drink and clothing. Let us keep these things in proper perspective. The Lord says, if you'll put me first, all of these things will be added unto you. And then notice the number that he promises. He says all things. He doesn't promise some, he promises all. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So all means all, and that's all means. It's all. And then notice the generosity that Jesus shares. He says in this verse that all these things shall be added, or we could say given. All of these things shall be added or given unto you. The grains that the birds pick, a seed at a time on the ground, they're gifts. They do nothing to earn them. They cannot pay for them. They do nothing to receive this. God's generosity. And it's demonstrated throughout the natural world. He gives, Psalm 104 and verse 28 says, he gives and they gather. He gives, they gather. Now to us, he gives and we gather. We gather by our labors. No mature bird sits on a limb and waits for another bird to put worms in his mouth. The early bird gets the worm. God sent manna from heaven to the children of Israel in the wilderness, but they had to go gather it. Life and that which sustain life are gifts from our generous God, and he assures us that we're going to have enough. Therefore, there's no call to worry. No call whatsoever to worry, because God takes care of our needs. Now notice also worry. In conclusion, we say this. Worry is an inconsistent activity. For if we're trusting, we're not worrying. If we're trusting, we're not worrying. Worry is irrational, for it doesn't solve a thing, doesn't solve anything. Worry is truly illogical for the Christian who calls God his heavenly Father. Doesn't make sense if I'm calling God my heavenly Father. So I'm to look out to him. When he became my Savior, I became his child. He became my Heavenly Father. He cares for me. He provides for me. He takes care of me. He is my Father. And I can rely on him for everything. And we must follow the principles in the Word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe that with all of my heart and all of my soul. And I trust you do as well. Thank you for joining us on our Wednesday evening Bible study. And I trust you'll be back with us 7 p.m. Good Friday evening, coming up in just a couple of days. God bless you, and I trust you'll have a great remainder of the week. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings, and we ask that you would bless each and every one that's been watching on live stream. I trust that you'd bless them, encourage their heart. Help us not to worry, because you are God, and you are our Heavenly Father. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.